Hey, everybody.
Hey!
It's American Christian once again.
Wow, Doc, we are into what episode? What is this, 14?
I think so.
Or is it 13? Well, like you said, you know, it's getting to be a habit, so I'm starting to lose count.
Right. Man, I'm enjoying it, though. I hope you listeners are enjoying it.
Boy, it's just all over the place. You know, when you start moving into talking about revival, and you start putting your ear to the ground as to who's talking about what.
Ooh.
There is a lot going on in the nation right now.
Boy, there is.
But we're going to kind of get down into some fine points, Doc, that you had pointed out, you know, in our pre-show. We should let him in on pre-show sometime.
Ooh, that would be fun.
But we're going to...
Yeah. In Judges 6 is kind of where we are, and we are mining out of the book of Judges these truths about, you know, what the cycle, okay? You know, remember now, that's what Judges is all about, is people are living in peace and prosperity. They can't handle it. They start worshiping idols. God sends judgment. They're under the oppression of the enemy. They cry out. God raises up a deliverer, a man or a woman, to come in and bring the victory against the enemy. And boom, then they're back up, you know, into the peace and prosperity once again. So in this story, of course, we are here. We started last time in talking about Gideon's encounter with the angel of the Lord. And Gideon being renamed,
right,
which is a big deal for the purpose and plan of God. For some people, not everybody, but for some people it is. I mean, you think back to Abraham.
Right.
I mean, he might be the first one in the Bible. I'm not sure. He could be.
Noah didn't change his name.
No, he didn't. Neither did Adam.
He didn't get a name change either.
Right.
So that is interesting, isn't it?
Abraham... exalted father in Hebrew,
yes,
moves up to being father of a multitude, Abraham. That name change, it's the name change in most cases brings an upgrade of of expectation and responsibility.
Ooh, I like
and
that.
Stewardship.
Yeah.
It did for Abraham, at least, because how much better to be father of a multitude than to just be exalted father.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And his wife Sarah kind of had a parallel thing happen with her, too.
Right.
At the same time. And you can think of other people, Jacob. Now, his was really an upgrade, because he went from Jacob, heel catcher,
yeah,
supplanter, deceiver, to being Israel, prince with God.
Wow.
Dude.
Prince with God.
Right.
Hallelujah.
I mean, wow.
Yeah. And we can see it in the New Testament as well with Peter.
Yeah.
And Paul gets a name change.
They both get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on. It's interesting, right? Because Andrew's name doesn't change, and Bartholomew and Thomas. And
David or Isaiah or, you know.
Right. Yeah, David.
But some people, you know, the Lord has a purpose. And just let's just spend a moment on Paul before we go back to Judges here.
Sure, okay.
That name change in Paul is so amazing because he starts out as Saul, or Saul in Hebrew, which was a very honorable, respected name for a Jewish young man to be given, you know, first king of Israel. So it didn't end well, but, you know, they still respected him. And as a Pharisee, that was a perfect name for Saul of Tarsus.
Why would that be?
Well, it's an honorable name within the Hebrew tradition, and everybody respects it, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sometimes, and don't we kind of do the same when we name our children?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I didn't name my kids, I don't know, like I can't think of like an unbiblical name. Like it was an intentional thing,
yeah,
because I wanted them to carry the weight of where they have come from.
Right.
Even from back in, holy cats, man, like I knew you before kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, so Saul has his Damascus Road encounter with Jesus.
Right.
Soon afterwards, we read in the book of Acts that he has become now Paulos, a Greek name. Same guy, but a Greek name. Now, the significance of that, I think, is when he, back when, in his Pharisee days, when he was going after Christians and locking them up and trying to get them killed and all this stuff,
right?
The last thing he would have wanted was a profane, secular Greek name. He would have preferred his quote-unquote holy Hebrew name.
Oh,
okay,
right.
But when we read his epistles, what do we read right at the beginning of almost every one of his epistles?
Paulos,
servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Gentile name.
Bond servant.
The Greek name.
Yeah.
Identifying with, there's been such a radical change in identification of the man. Right. Now he's the apostle to the Gentiles.
And he owns it.
Right.
Man, does he own it.
So anyway, again, this isn't for everybody, but it certainly is for certain people. And with Gideon here, from now on in the story, you can call him Jerubbaal. And let Baal plead.
Let Baal plead.
This principality has been brought down by this guy with his friends, and now there's an altar to the Lord there.
Yeah, yeah,
that's,
yeah,
a big deal.
It is.
Yeah.
So I guess the other kind of thing that we begin to see is that there's a spiritual climate right now that's beginning to manifest itself. And we're going to see that as we kind of move through the rest of this passage, that something is happening really within the tribes and with the people of Israel. Remember,
they have been serving these false gods like Baal.
Yeah, and they are up in the caves. They are hiding.
Right.
They are, holy cow, don't even get in the way of these people or they'll kill you.
Isn't it interesting that the people of God, even though they're serving the gods of all these surrounding nations, they still don't like them. It's like, hey, you know, if we culturally come to you, you know, and adopt your cultural stuff, can't you just like us, man? No, get back in those dens and those caves. We're coming after you.
We're trampling your crops.
Right.
We don't even want to eat your food, right?
And you got to wonder what... An Israelite that has really got his head straight, I mean, it's like, really? This isn't working, man.
Yeah, and he knows it.
But it took a revelation of the Lord God, an angel of the Lord, to Gideon to bring him out of that and say, hey, man,
right,
it's time to serve the Lord God.
Wow.
So when you do that, what you're getting at here, Pete, when you do that, there's something that happens in the spiritual climate. If you have a whole town here that's worshiping Baal at this guy's house, in the middle of the night, they tear down the Baal idol and altar and the Asherah one, and then install the worship of the Lord God.
Take your best bull and your second best bull.
Whoa, man.
And set up the sacrifice.
Then the spiritual climate is shifting.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting? Immediately after they do that, you read verse 33, then all the Midianites and Amalekites, the people of the east, gathered together, they crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. It's like the spiritual climate has been stored up and the demons are raging.
Yeah.
Like, get in there. We got to do something about this.
Yeah. Yesterday you said that it cuts and tears open the atmosphere.
Right.
For this kind of a climate change.
Right.
Hey.
Climate change.
Climate change.
Holy climate change. Wow.
Glory to God. All right.
All right, so there they are. So what happens next except the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Gideon? But you had a rendition of that, Pete, here that was really interesting in your Bible.
Right. The Amplified expounds on the fact what's happening there. But it says, but the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with himself and took possession of him, and he blew a trumpet, and the clan of Abiezer was gathered to him.
So in other words, it was like the Spirit of the Lord wore Gideon like a garment.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Now that
is
an anointing.
Dude. What happens when people get hit by the Spirit of God, like up in War Road?
Oh.
Is that the garment that is like all of a sudden gets thrown upon your shoulders? And
I'll tell you what.
Momentarily.
Last Saturday night, I felt it. I mean, it went out of my, right down my arm, through my hand, right into them, and they were laying on the floor. everybody that God prayed for, except that, one guy.
Isn't that, it's so exciting to
it
see,
is.
Right?
It was, man, it looked like a battlefield, people all over the floor.
So in this, listener, this change is coming, Gideon gets clothed, and then there's a response that comes out of him, right? He blows a trumpet. And the trumpet blowing means what, Doc?
Going to war.
Going to war. He's excited. So yeah. He also sends messengers. Gideon does, sends messengers out to the tribes to come and follow him.
Several of them.
Matter of fact, so you go ahead and read through that, Doc.
Yeah, so verse 35, he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh who also gathered behind him. Mm. So there's another whole tribe, and then he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. So that's a lot of people.
It is, in contrast to verse 33, right? Because you've got the Midianites and the Amalekites.
And all their dudes.
And their dudes.
Right. So it's time to shake down and see what's going to happen here, you know? You know, I mean, this isn't, can you imagine this now? It's easy for Christians to kind of, okay, so Gideon went out on the field and he found the commander of the Midianites and said, Jesus loves you. You know? No, I mean, we're going to have a battle here. People are going to die.
Yeah.
Swords are going to be stuck into people.
Risk is going to come on. As we get to the end of this chapter, there's just going to be some heavy risk on Gideon's part. Yeah.
So Gideon said to God, now here's where we get to the fleece, okay? Yeah. And this is a thing that is really greatly misunderstood in the Bible, I feel. So Gideon said to God, verse 36, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. This is the famous fleece.
Right. And we're still back in the wine press.
Ooh. He's drawing.
Right? That hit me this morning. Man. I was like, wow, what's the significance of this wine press?
Well, he's out on the threshing floor, though.
Well.
With it.
Oh, so he's not in the wine press.
I don't think
now
he
he's
is.
On the threshing floor.
He's out in the open. In the open.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good.
And so it was so, verse 38. When he arose early in the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Mm. So the Lord did what he asked him to do as a sign. And then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test. Notice this is even after the Spirit of God clothes himself with Gideon. He's still doing this stuff.
Right.
So listener, let me just encourage you, when God challenges you to do something big, God's not afraid of your questions.
Yeah, that's a good word.
He really is not. And you can come to him, you can ask him things. Yeah, I don't understand this, or I want a sign. Now, the fleece thing has kind of been overdone, I think, by some people.
Okay.
But it is an example here.
Well, this is the partnership that you were talking about episodes ago.
Right.
About coming into partnership with God. And that means conversation is happening between you and the Lord.
And
the Lord and you.
So what Gideon says here is he wants one more try. Okay, so just once more with the fleece, let it now be dry only on the fleece and on all the ground all around, let it be dew. And the Lord did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground.
Hmm.
So Gideon has got it really clearly set before him here that this is God and he's got to do it.
It's like confirmation, getting some confirmation.
Right.
Not that it's terrible, but he knew.
And then I like verse 1 of chapter 7.
Come on.
Because here's what it says. It says, then let Baal plead, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early. Because this really is what this is about. Is Baal Lord or is the Lord God Lord?
Ooh.
This is the deal.
Yeah. There are showdowns between principalities.
Who's
and God.
Who's Lord here?
Who is?
Yeah. And so Gideon, that is Jerubbabel, and all the people with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Harod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. Now, Gideon had his time to question the Lord and get his answer. Now the Lord is going to question Gideon and get his way in this situation.
Okay.
And this is really an amazing part of this story. And I just wonder how often God wants to weave this into the story of revival, and we're really not willing.
Ooh.
This is kind of, this next verses here are what you might call reverse church growth. You know, right?
Rise up.
Right, because the Lord said to him in verse 2, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying my own hand has saved me.
Wow, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained. He started out with 32,000.
Yeah.
He says, okay, anybody that's scared, doesn't want to go into the battle, you're afraid of dying, all this, go ahead and go home. Boom, 22,000.
Right.
A cloud of dust.
And it.
Wow. Oh, that was a close one.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But, so you'd think, okay, Lord, so, you know, can you imagine being Gideon?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, oh, man, just had 22,000 guys walk, and you see them over there, there's tens and hundreds of thousands of them over there.
Well, at least I got 10,000. I mean, that's a pretty good head count.
Well,
I mean, it's better than a sharp stick in the eye. What?
Verse 4.
There's more?
But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many.
Oh, come on.
Oh, man, Lord, bring them down to the water. And there I will test them for you there. Then it shall be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go.
Hmm.
Wow. The Lord wants to pick the warriors.
Yeah.
Ooh. Because he sees something you don't see.
Hmm.
Okay, because, and you're going to see in a minute here, because of the way these guys have to fight, this isn't the usual way to fight. Right?
It is not
here's
the usual
your weapons,
way of fight.
Boys.
Yeah.
You get a trumpet.
And be careful with these clay jars.
You get a pitcher, a clay jar, and you get a torch. You know, where's my sword, man? I want a sword. No swords. Where did you see those Midianites over there? They got not only swords, they got bows and arrows and spears and
chariots of iron.
Dude.
More than likely, right, as weapon technology advanced.
Right. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink.
Hmm.
And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men, but all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink.
Now, so
I've heard that explained as this, that those who remained standing and were bringing the water up to their mouth were staying alert for the attack of the enemy. Others just laid down their stuff and stuck their face down in the water.
Right.
There may be something to that.
I heard the same thing.
Yeah.
My dad told me that.
Really?
Yeah, and I was just kind of like, huh. That was really kind of an aha for me.
Yeah. But I think there's also the factor of that these guys have got to be ready for unconventional warfare.
Oh.
Directed by the Holy Spirit, who is now wearing Jerubbaal as a garment. So, verse 7, the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. So 9,700, boom, they take off.
Yeah.
Gideon's sitting there with 300 guys.
What does that sound like when they get back to camp?
Oh, man.
What happened? Well, don't know, was very peculiar to me.
Yeah, yeah. You don't think the Midianites don't have spies watching all this.
Oh.
I mean, the Bible doesn't say that.
No, but you know they're encamped. They're in a valley.
Right.
Yeah.
So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands and sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley.
Hmm.
Now, I love this next part of the story because it's so about prophetic revelation and letting the Lord just lead you by the inbreaking of the Holy Spirit just to show you things you can't possibly know in your human self.
Right.
Remember now, the Holy Spirit's all over Gideon. So it happened the same night that the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterwards your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp." In other words, Gideon is like the general, okay? And this is not how you fight war in the ancient world. You don't send your general down to be a spy on the edge of the enemy's camp.
Right.
But that's what the Lord did here.
The Lord's the general.
He's the general.
He's that's the general right. in this. But can right. you the risk
oh, yeah.
of going down into an enemy's camp?
Right.
They've got their fires, they've got their guards, they've yep. got people.
All their stuff.
I can't imagine that they're not having a man at watch around the
right.
camp, right?
So look what happens.
All right.
So they went down, he went down with Purah his servant to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites, the Amalekites, all the people of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seashore in multitude.
That's a lot of camel.
But we got 300 guys. Right? When Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. So they sneak up in the dark.
Yeah.
They're kind of doing this, you know, counterintelligence deal. And the guy tells his dream. He said, "I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed." I love that because it is so characteristic of how prophetic revelation works. A loaf of barley bread? What? And his companion answered and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." This is the guy that was threshing in the wine press
yeah.
so they could have bread.
Right.
That's where this comes from.
Right.
That guy. Okay, but now the word must be out that the hand of the Lord is with him and the Spirit of God is upon him.
So they were watching Gideon they knew what he was doing.
I think so.
But so it's kind of like, how did you come up with that as a dream interpretation, right?
Well, but Gideon needed to hear this.
He did.
So this loaf of barley bread, he certainly knew what that meant. It came and smashed down the tents of the Midianites. Wow. So it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshiped.
Hmm.
Ooh, there's a big key to revival right there.
It is.
When the revelation comes, worship the giver of revelation. Ooh. Lift your hands and lift Ooh. Your voice. In fact, let's do it right now.
Yeah, let's go.
Listeners, let's just worship him
Hallelujah.
For a moment.
Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Lord Jesus, we Lord, honor you and we worship you. King of kings.
You are the Lord.
And Lord of lords, you are Thank the great you. And mighty God.
Thank you, Lord.
You are greater Thank than the Midianites Thank and all the Amalekites and all the Baals and Asherah and all these idols and principalities. You Thank are the you. Great God, and we Thank worship you and we honor you and we you. Praise you that you send
Thank
forth
you. Thank
your
you.
Revelation into the realm of human beings so we can know what you're doing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Glory
Clothe
to
your
the
people
Lamb.
Lord, with your
yes.
presence and your spirit.
Whoa, hallelujah.
Give them strength, Lord.
Hallelujah. That Gideon worshiped.
Ooh.
So he returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand." So he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. No swords, no shields, no helmets, no chariots, trumpets, pitchers, and torches. The weapons of your warfare. Kind of reminds you of the New Testament. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, doesn't it?
Here it is right here.
Wow. Yeah.
Every man.
Every man. 300 of them.
Put themselves at risk. But they were all the right guys.
But Gideon knew what to do. It's one thing to stand there with those three implements in your hand. But what do you do with them? Because you got camels like the sand of the sea.
Right.
Out there in the opposition.
Man.
With every kind of armament known to man.
I'd have liked to have been a fly on a camel's back right. When that happened.
Yeah, so then he said to him, verse 17, "Look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp, and say, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.'" There's that partnership again, Pete.
Yeah.
God, bless him. He takes us human beings, us fallible human beings, frail as we are, and all the stuff we carry with us.
Right.
He says, "I'm going to take you up into partnership with me. I'm going to make you such a part of this victory." I mean, Gideon, when you talk about the Bible, you talk about Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. Gideon's there with all the big guys.
Man.
Right?
Right.
And here he is. He's taken up into partnership with the living God.
Wow.
Isn't it something?
It is.
God wants to do that with you, listener.
He gives you the victory.
He'll give dreams. He'll give revelations. He'll give prophecies. He'll give interpretations.
He's willing.
He is.
God is willing.
The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.
Hmm.
Whatever your name is out there, even if your name hasn't been changed, the sword of Joel. Of God and Joel out there.
Wow.
The sword of
Maybell.
Of Emily and God and Emily out there. Or Susan or you know, Richard, whatever your name is, put it in there, you guys. I'm serious.
For the Lord and for Gideon.
Oh, man.
Wow. 19?
Yeah, 19. Wow.
You want to go in there?
Maybe not. Maybe we should just let's break it right here.
Yeah.
And let this soak into these Gideons and Deborahs and Ehuds that are out there listening to us.
You know, something that you had said to a couple of programs, if you don't think that you're a leader, you have to first learn how to lead yourself.
Mm.
And leading yourself and being willing to submit yourself unto God. That's like first thing. This right. is what happens to Gideon. This is what happens with all the big names, mm-hmm. all the Hall of Famers.
Even Abraham?
Submit.
Especially Abraham.
Man, Abraham.
Dude.
Sarah even snickered about it a little bit. Well, you know, like, I'm going to have a baby.
Right.
You were laughing. She goes, "I was not." And he goes, "Yeah, you were."
Yeah, you were. So guess what? We're going to name the kid. Laughter.
Name him Laughter. I just think that's so wonderful. Wow, talk about the power of a name, right?
I know.
You know, if you're an Isaac out there and you're just kind of, you know, I want you to be encouraged. Your name means Laughter.
Hallelujah.
Laughter.
Isn't that something?
Change.
Yeah.
Change it. Changing your mind.
Right. Let's pray for you guys out there.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, I just thank you for these precious people that are listening to this podcast today. Lord, we just thank you that you are pulling them up to a higher level.
Yes.
And to a revelation of partnership with you.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, I thank you that there's nothing that the enemy can do to prevent that. The person that can stop that, the only one, is you. And you're not stopping it anymore. You're saying, come, Lord Jesus, I am ready. I am willing. Show me things I've never seen before, Lord. And open up the way, the path of that on which I am to proceed, and I am to walk into this victory, and defeating these enemies of the Lord, these principalities, these Baals, these Asherahs. We just cast them down till they have to beg and plead. And we're not going to show them any mercy in the name of Jesus, because of these victors, these men and women that you're raising up. Lord, give us more Deborahs. Give us more Gideons in this day and in this time. We thank you for it. We pray it in Jesus' name.
Ooh, amen. Amen. Whoa, amen.
Amen.
Wow, Doc.
Man.
You know, we have a still doing our offer this week,
right?
Yes, we are. So You Want Revival.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Hansen.
Yeah, Eric wrote this book. He just brought it out this past month. It's an awesome book.
Yeah, so if you write in to us, all our information is on the website, heartofthefather.net. Send us an email, info@heartofthefather.net, and we'll get that book off to you.
Absolutely. And if the Lord leads you and you want to donate into this ministry and you're on the website, just hit the donate button.
Love to have you.
And it'd be wonderful to have you partner with
partners.
Us that way. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, hallelujah.
You can do it one time. You can do it recurring. Here's all the
You can do it as many times as you want.
Right, but the recurring will then just happen every month.
Every month.
If you set it up that way.
Yeah, glory to God.
So we bless you, and we're going to see you here next time.